Acts chapter 12, please. If I could have some men help me, please. Thank you, Mr. Hall. Appreciate that. You got less over on that side. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and thank you. Acts chapter 12. All right, does everybody have notes? Everybody's getting notes, more or less. Let's stand, please, Acts chapter 12. Now, if you were here this morning, unless you were asleep, I preached this morning. Tonight is not that kind of a sermon. We're just in a series. We're talking, and some of you have no idea that everything I have talked about in the last about 6 weeks in Sunday morning and Sunday night all connect. We're actually doing some roundabout teaching on the subject of why I'm not a charismatic. But some of you haven't figured that out yet. But I'm not doing an anti-hate sermons. We're dealing with, it's a strange thought, the Bible. So we're going to spend some time, and we already have, on the subject of the apostles. Tonight is just one more. I have next Sunday night, which will be on qualifications of an apostle, which everybody that's been here should already know what the qualifications are because we learned that the first week. And then we'll do 2 weeks on the subject of what in the world is the purpose of an apostle? I went online and somebody had like 15 kinds of apostles. The apostles had some very specific purposes from the scripture about an apostle. So what we're going to do tonight is look at three outliers. Three, meaning some people say they're apostles, some people say they're not. So we're going to look at three groups, okay? Actually one small group, one person, and two people. And I'm going to ask a question. So all of you, I'm looking around this room. I think I only have the possibility. Well, I got two possibilities. I'm going to ask Frenchie and Jim. I don't know about Fawn, because I don't remember even what year you joined the military. Can you remember back that far? Either one. 79? So the answer is yes for you and yes for the old guy. Frenchie. I'll get there. You'll understand in a moment. By the way, we're going to ask that question, what is an apostle? And what should you be asking? What do you mean by an apostle? Okay? But we're going to ask a different question. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the Tetrarch. This is Herod Agrippa the First. This is part of the messy, messy, messy family of Herod the Great. This is not Herod Antipas, which was in the Gospels, children. It's one of the other brothers, half-brothers. Remember, Herod the Great only had 10 wives. Now, he killed a bunch of his own children. He killed some of his own wives. But this winds down through one of the families. This is Herod Agrippa the First. There was a Herod Agrippa the Second. And someone by the name of Bernice, or spelled and sounds a little differently in Greek and in other languages, and Drusilla. They were there much later. Actually, Herod Agrippa II is going to interview Paul later, if you remember. Herod Agrippa II in AD 66. Everybody look up here. Herod Agrippa II takes the side of Rome against Israel and helps attack the temple. His sister, which appears in the Bible to be his wife, Bernice, I'm not going to say anything more publicly. If you miss the reference, you're sleeping. His sister, which appears in the Bible to be his wife, then becomes the paramour of Titus, which was the emperor starting in 79. His father was Vespasian, went back to Rome to become the emperor, and Titus and Bernice become, and Drusilla, of course, in the Acts is married to a Roman governor. So it's all in the family. These are cruel, ugly people. Everybody got that? Is that clear enough? If you know nothing about the Herods, you at least know these are not people you want to hang out with and, you know, sip coffee. Now, about that time, Herod the Tetrarch, Herod Agrippa I, stretched forth his hands to vex, that's old King James English, certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I'm not going to preach on this text. We're just going to open this up and we're going to deal with the subject of apostles. Well, then you have the story, of course, Peter gets arrested. All the Christians pray for Peter. God miraculously delivers Peter, yes? And what do all the Christians do? They don't believe. You've been praying, and here's Peter. It's like, you're not Peter. Strange. Verse 17. Well, verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. I mean, here he is knocking. I'm here. God let me out. You're not Peter. Verse 17, but he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto... Didn't James just die? I asked you a question. Didn't James just die? Okay, well, we got to determine who this person is. It goes on to say, go tell James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. We're going to talk about possible outliers, about people that may or may not have been apostles. Some people, some good men, think there are no other apostles other than the 11 and Paul. Other people think there's Paul, the 11, Matthias, maybe a small group of others. And then we got the problem where some people think they're apostles today. So we have to, in a couple weeks, we'll be asking this question, what's the purpose of an apostle? And I will say this to you, if you're here, you will some things will fit together for you, I promise. Tonight, just dealing with the other outlying possibilities, let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing on this time. Help me to be able to clearly present simple ideas. In Christ's name, amen. I was in Bible college in the early 80s. The lab manager came in and asked me a question. Jim, this was the question. You will understand. Frenchie, by the way, was in during that time because Frenchie was in the United States Navy when John Paul Jones was in charge, okay? So it's been a couple weeks. But Jim, they just asked me a simple question. Jerry Godshaw walked in and he said, Ralph, I know you're in the Navy. I know you're in the military. He says, were you a Vietnam veteran? Now, everybody look me in the eyes. Without blinking, praying, stumbling, being stupid, I said no. But some of you won't understand my answer. Because technically, I was in the Vietnam era. Because I joined early enough to be in the Vietnam era. But I was trained by a father that if you didn't fight, you weren't there. Shut your mouth. Now look at me. When I say that, I mean as a matter of honor. If you talked to my dad and said, were you in World War II? He would immediately say no. But he wasn't telling the truth. He got to Germany. The war was over in Germany, which means this for my dad. He would never tell somebody he was in World War II because he didn't fight at El Alamein. He didn't fight at Salerno. He wasn't at Anzio Beach. He wasn't at Monte Cassino. He wasn't on D-Day. He wasn't in the Bulge. He wasn't at Bastogne. Do you know those places? You better. They're your history. You wouldn't be here if we hadn't won those battles. My father, as a matter of honor, would never claim World War II, even though he was in from 45 to 49. He was in the occupation troops. He was a trial guard at Nuremberg. No way he would claim World War II because he had relatives. We had relatives that were in the Bulge. And his own brother was in the Battle of Okinawa. He would never claim it. Would I ever claim Vietnam? Not in your lifetime. Why? Mike Rock actually was there. And still carries the shrapnel from the bomb that went off in his body today. I would never dishonor somebody by claiming something I'm not. Are you an apostle? We got fools talking that they're apostles. Really? By the way, what happened to the vast majority of the apostles? They were martyred. In some ways, from what little bit we pick of history, pretty much every single one. Also, even Frenchie's not old enough to be an apostle. Nobody is that old. I know when you're in, Frenchie. In your notes, when it comes to the question of outliers, there are some possible people. The first group I'm going to call, and I have in parentheses, not named. That's kind of true. Apostle. But there's one guy that's kind of named, kind of not named. Maybe he's an apostle. I tend to think he is, though there are good people who say he's not. His name is James. Does anybody know James's name in Greek or Hebrew? Jacob. Okay? That's not how they would pronounce it in Greek, but it's in your notes. As I say in your notes, one name immediately stands out. However, his name is so common and must be distinguished. James equaled Jacob in both Hebrew and in Greek. You find two of them actually in Acts chapter 1. Notice, it says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where abode both Peter and Jacobus." I mean, Jacob, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, and then you have another guy named James. James, son of Alphaeus. It's like, what? So you have in the apostolic band, folks, look at me, in the apostles, those ones Jesus chose at the beginning, you have two guys named James. Two. They're distinguished by who they're brothers to. The main James that we recognize that was killed in Acts chapter 12 was brother to John. He was one of the inner three. James, John, and Peter, of course. There were three central guys. There's a James, we usually call him like the less because we don't know anything about him. Acts chapter 12, of course, we've already read. James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. Chapter 12, verse 17. Is the first reference to this other guy named James. And by the way, it's not James the Lesser or James the son of Alphaeus. It's James the half-brother of Jesus. Where does he come from? And is he an apostle? Look at me, friends. Do you realize when Peter said, go and tell James, he didn't say go tell the other apostles. He said tell James because James was already the leader in Jerusalem in the church. We don't know where he came from. We don't know how he got there, but we just know this. In his historical references, he was a pagan during the gospel days. Somewhere, we assume, I'm pretty sure, the resurrection, he came to understand who Jesus was, his own half-brother, and became a believer. And in short order, the big shot in Jerusalem was not Peter, was not John, was not Paul. It was James. And it's that way through the rest of the book. All right. James, Acts chapter 15. It says, after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. So even in the conference between Antioch, the church at Antioch, and the church in Jerusalem, and the elders from Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, and the elders at Jerusalem, and the apostles, James kind of rises to the top. Chapter 21, 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. And all the elders were present. So again, James is the guy that's kind of running the show. The closest reference I have to, I'm pretty sure that James was considered an apostle, is 1 Corinthians 15. Because it's not talking about James, the two apostles, which is already assumed and already mentioned. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. This is the James that stands out in the pack. This James also wrote a book, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This James had a brother, James, a servant of God, Jude. Now, friends, don't read Jude in Greek, because it'll make you nervous, because Jude's name is not Jude. I'm sorry if you're a King James only person. Jude's name is not Jude. Jude's name is a name you would never name your children. Judas, which is simply Greek for Judah. Very honorable name. So if you were doing it in Hebrew, it would be Judah. If it was in Greek, it would be Judas. But after Judas betrayed Christ, who wants to name your children Judas? Nobody. So we put in there Jude, which is fine, but Judah is a very honorable name, of course. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, when Paul went to Jerusalem to see the apostles, it says this, and here is the first and main reference to this, but of the other apostles, I saw none save or except James, the Lord's brother, which seems to indicate to me pretty clearly that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was considered one of the apostles. Now, before he was saved, Mark chapter 6, he was a non-believer. It says this, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? Talking about Jesus. And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of? By the way, they looked and said, James is the brother of Jesus. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you go all over the world. But here's the deal. Joseph and Mary had children after Jesus. How do we know that? Jesus was the firstborn. You know what firstborn means? There were some other ones born after that. You know, firstborn, etc. Yes. And how many other names were there? Well, it even tells us. Joseph is the Greek form of Joseph. And, of course, it does the same thing with good old Jude again. That's Jude, and Simon. Simon is one of the most common names in that era. Lots of people called Simon. Are not his sisters with us? So Jesus not only had half-brothers, he had half-sisters. All right, I'm going to give you the bullet points. I'm not trying to prove anything tonight other than to say this. There are 11 people. Look up here. There are 11 people we know her apostles. One guy betrayed Christ. We know, beyond any question, one of the true apostles was Paul, even though he was unique. Yes? The question is, are there any more? I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm going to lay out the facts. If there is one that I'm pretty sure was, it's James, the half-brother of Jesus. The problem is, that means, are there more than 12? And I don't have an answer for that. You'll have to figure that one out on your own. Let's fill in these simple blanks, please. This James is James, the one half-brother of Jesus, meaning he comes from Joseph and Mary. Jesus came from Mary and the miraculous event, the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is only a half-brother. It's James, the brother of Jude, or Judah, if you prefer, or Judas. I say in your notes, it's not James, the brother of John. It is not James, the brother of John, who was martyred under Herod Agrippa I, Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2. It's not that guy. He's already gone. It's not James, and I'm just going to give you two ways that we usually refer to him, James the Lesser or James the Lesser Known. We don't know anything about this James. It's almost impossible to know anything about this James. Next, it is James the leader of the Jerusalem church. Now, friends, what's really weird about this? We have historical documents from Josephus. Josephus, the Roman historian, he's generally called Flavius Josephus. I know I bore some of you with history because history's like, But when the Romans surrounded Jerusalem in the Roman revolt, 66 to 73, the Romans surrounded. Vespasian was the Roman general in charge. The Roman emperor went through a bunch of different emperors or Caesars really quickly. 66, Nero Caesar committed suicide. And then 68. They go through four emperors in about a year and a half. Otho, Vitellius, Galba, and then you get to Vespasian. Vespasian meets a Jewish man that had been in charge of a guerrilla unit. His name is Josephus. Josephus comes to Vespasian and says, God has told me you are going to be the next emperor. He becomes the next emperor, and Vespasian, Titus's dad, adopts him into his family, and then he writes some of the most important historical documents outside the New Testament. His name is Josephus. It's where it comes from. He wrote about the Jewish war, the Jewish revolt. He writes about Jewish history. He wrote another book against Appian. He wrote a bunch of different books. So we know even about James from that in your notes. So this is James, the leader of the Jerusalem church. This is James, the much later martyr. James, the much later martyr. If you want to do research on Wikipedia, write these three words down. James the Just. There's a reasonable article on Wikipedia because James, the half-brother of Jesus, the leader of the Jerusalem church, we have it from a bunch of different sources, seems to have been martyred somewhere between 62 to 69, I don't know because I'm not enough of a scholar on this, but somewhere in there he was martyred, and Josephus records it, several later theologians record it. So this is that James. James the Just, in your notes. This is James, the more traditional, equal the Palestinian Jewish James. He was much more traditional. We find that in Galatians 2. This is James, the antagonistic unbeliever before the resurrection. This is the same guy. He was an antagonistic unbeliever. He antagonized even the Lord Jesus before the resurrection. Seems like he... Next, it's James, the witness of the resurrection. I think I might have missed one. James, a leader among the apostles, elders, and churches. I left out two. He was also a pillar of the church, according to Galatians 2. Pillar of the church, leader among the apostles, elders, and churches. The antagonistic unbeliever before the resurrection. The witness of the resurrection. And the author of the book of James. Yes, that's the James. All right, I'm just going to throw this out. Do I think he was an apostle? Please look at me. Yes. It says he was, and it says he was in Galatians. He was, look at me, in First Corinthians 15, when Paul picks out all of the people that saw the resurrected Christ, he takes James and sets him aside like he was probably an unbeliever before. James was a witness of the resurrection. Probably that's when he got saved. And very shortly thereafter, he's one of the leaders in the church. And he becomes one of the big shots. I tend to think he's an apostle. You can think whatever. That's a possibility. Secondly, there is a group named apostles, but it's hard to know, were they apostles or is this just a name? I put all the verses here so you don't have to ever wonder about Pastor Warren hiding stuff. Verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of, we don't even know this language, some dialect in this area, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. By the way, these are pagans. They saw the miracle. They understood none of it. It goes on. And it says in verse 12, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury or Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, so here's the question, Barnabas and Paul, are both of them apostles or just Paul an apostle? Here's one of them that are named apostles. Paul obviously is. Was Barnabas also an apostle? That's the question. Heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you say these things? We are also men of like passion with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein." Next page. 1 Thessalonians 1 is the second reference generically to possibly some other people being apostles. They seem to be named apostles, but I'm a little more questionable about this group. Paul and Silvanus, which we assume that's a Latin form of Silas, Greek form, and Timotheus or Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. Wait a minute. Everybody look at me. Who wrote the book? Who wrote this book? Answer the question. Who wrote the book? But he introduces himself with two other people. So did they write the book too? The answer is no. I think you have here a case of, well, we'll get to it. You can differ with me too, of course. Chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, Paul says this, "For neither at any time used," what's that word? Do you all know what that word is in language? We call that the what? Jenny, she got it right, the royal we. Here it is. We need something to eat. If Dada says that, but you're a guy, what's that mean? You need to cook him something. Maybe you don't do it in Tagalog, but in English we do it all the time. Somebody needs to clean out the garage. Whoever's speaking, it's usually not that somebody. We use that, it's called the royal we. You see it a lot in literature. You include other people. Okay, so let's read it again. "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as," and then it says it again, this is the second time, "the apostles of Christ." Now, I told Tom tonight, Tom, I was wrong. Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong more than one time. You're going to find two big mistakes and three little ones. So in your notes, I say this, both of these texts, this should be underlined, seem to include others among the apostles. What do we make of them? What do we make of these references? I'm just telling you Pastor Warren's thinking. This is a very small group consisting of Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Luke, Titus, John Mark, and maybe one or two others. They were obviously, associates of Paul. They were people that went on mission trips with Paul. Actually, I don't know if Paul hardly ever went alone. He almost always was with other people. So they were associates of Paul, and at times, everybody look up here. I'm asking, by the way, I'm just asking Bible questions. See how you read the Bible. Which one of these names also associated with Peter? John Mark. I think most of these people associated with, you know, it wasn't like, oh no, I just go with Paul, I don't ever talk to Peter, I don't talk to John. It wasn't like that, but we know John Mark, 1 Peter chapter 5, is mentioned by Peter and in the blessing that he had been to Peter, so we know that. So, they were associates of Paul and at times Peter. Next, there's another one of these underlines you need to do. The language usage seems to simply include them in the apostolic, bad. That's the first punctuation. I saw it when I printed it this morning. I'm printing the notes. I put this one down and I'm like, I made a mistake. Already Christy has to fix me. I believe this group, these groups are not apostles. I think personally they were probably people that are just kind of considered part of the apostolic band. They worked with Paul, they worked with Peter, but not necessarily apostles. But again, That's my thinking. Next, the language again seems, that's the underlying word, the language seems typical of Paul's royal what? Where you have, man, I'm hungry. We need to do something about that. Folks, if I cooked, people would die. They would die for two reasons. The food I cooked and the fact that I cooked. Both of them are scary. I don't know what my... Did you cook when your wife was gone? No. This is an honest man right here. Pachungai was gone for 3 years recently. And she had Dada's food parceled out for 3 years. Did you not? That's called the royal we. Who did the cooking? We did. No, we didn't. I think the language is the royal we. It's just a way of talking that, look at me, it draws a little less attention to yourself in this kind of a setting. Paul uses the we a lot. But Paul is the leader. He's the apostle. The other people are his associates, and I think he just includes them in the apostolic band. If I'm wrong, I don't have a problem with that. I think they were associates of Paul, and I'm going to say some more. So let's go over all of this again. This is a very small group consisting of Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Luke, Titus, John, Mark, maybe a few others. They were associates of Paul and at times Peter. The language usage seems to imply, include them in the apostolic band, but not necessarily as apostles. The language seems typical of Paul's royal we, including his fellow workers, without making them apostles. However, I'm going to tell you the weirdest thing you've never heard. I'm going to ask you the question. Who wrote most of the New Testament? Don't speak. Raise your hand. Who wrote most of the New Testament? And it is a trick question. You're close. Word-wise, Luke. What did he write? Luke and Acts. Those are big books. So if you put Paul, Luke, and Mark, you have most of the New Testament. And they're all connected to Paul. Interesting, isn't it? Now, yes, John did John in Revelation, but Acts is huge word-wise. Luke is huge word-wise. All right. So I say this, God did use Luke and Mark to write the Scripture. Paul, Luke, and Mark wrote most of the New Testament. Think about that. By the way, most people believe, and I believe, that Mark's gospel is simply Peter's. Don't have time to demonstrate that. It's pretty obvious from Acts 10. But these men, so could they have been apostles? Most people would say they're associates of apostles, but if they are apostles, they're connected very tightly to a small group of people. So far tonight, before we get to the most bizarre passage in the Bible... No, it's not bizarre. It's only bizarre because of modern times. Two guys. James? Was James an apostle? I think so. Some don't. But he did write a book, and he was, look at me, the apostles were not the leaders in Jerusalem. James was, which is really weird. Read Acts 15. He makes all the decisions with the other elders, with the other apostles, but James is always at the top. Then you have all these other guys. I tend to think they were Paul's associates, and he included them in a true way. He loved them. He worked with them. They were his left-hand men. Were they apostles? I'm okay if they were. I tend to think they were part of the apostolic bod. Bad. Number C. It's not numbered. C. Kind of named. I'm sorry, we come to the most bizarre verse that you have read and never paid one bit of attention to, but is the source of all stupidity in modern theological circles. Romans 16. Salute, Andronicus, Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before pro-emu, before me. The ESV, just the portion. They were well known to the apostles. The New Revised Standard, the liberal version says, they are prominent among the apostles. The New American Standard, 95, says, outstanding among the apostles. This is Pastor Warren's statement. Frankly, this text has become a goldmine for silliness, speculation, scripture twisting and torturing, and just foolishness. So let's go through this quickly. Everybody here, I'm not trying to prove anything. This is the dumbest verse I've ever heard, but I got volumes. I got books upstairs. People, you know why? Because people want not only to be an apostle, look at me, they want women to be apostles. And they come up with some cockamamie kind of strange ideas. So let's read together, please. Thoughts. Romans 16, I am assuming you have read it. Paul greets various friends and asks them to greet other various friends. Is that Romans 16? What is the most common word in Romans 16? Salute or greet. It's so many times you get bored to tears because you don't know these people. You never heard these names. It's like, you know, greet this person and then this person greets you back and forth. Or salute, the King James says. Greet. That's all it means. Actually, it concludes in verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. And if you do that to me tonight, it will be the last kiss you ever have. The churches, and then the churches of Christ, meaning the Christian churches where Paul was when he wrote this letter, salute you. It's a back and forth letter. Everybody look at me. It's a back and forth letter. You get that? It's salute this group salutes you. Salute this one salutes you. This one greets you, greet them back. Everybody got that? Boy, it's kind of a boring section until you realize these are real people. No pastor does anything without people. Did you hear me? When I used to hear Jackie Boy Hiles talk about he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, let me say this. You don't do anything without a host of godly serving people. I love to come in here. I love to teach Bible. I love to irritate Amber. Do I do a good job? Pretty good. Do I irritate you? Do I ever irritate? Well, sometimes. But look at me. I could do nothing in this school if there wasn't people in the offices running the thing, if there wasn't Pastor Kowak fixing everything, if there wasn't my daughter bossing everybody, if I didn't have my good daughter. I asked my daughter today, who's my favorite daughter? What did she say? Renee. You say, what's Renee doing? Taking care of the children? Look, folks, nobody does anything alone. Romans 16, the beauty is we don't do this alone. Everybody does it with a whole group of people. Do you understand that? So greet them, they greet you. That's the book. King James says salute. When I hear salute, that's what I think. But that's not what it's talking about. We continue. Paul specifically asked the Christians at Rome to greet Andronicus and Junia. Paul then describes them. He calls them kinsmen. The Greek word for kinsmen means, by the way, it comes from the word genes or genos. You know, your genes, you have soon genes. It has the idea of you have the same genetics. But specifically, we'll get to it. So Paul's kinsmen, it means something like this. It means his relatives potentially, though I don't think in this case it's relatives. It could mean his broader family. But in this case, I'm pretty sure it means fellow Jewish believers. Whoever these people were, he calls them his kinsmen. And the Greek word is found three times in this chapter and once in Romans 9, four times in Romans, and every time it's not saying, this is my cousin or my brother. Paul is using it for his fellow, listen, Jewish believers. How do I know? Here it is. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. Same chapter, verse 11. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. 21. Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. All of those are simply saying these are Jewish believers. Romans 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my, what's it say? Kinsmen, according to the flesh. So you don't have any question. In this passage, he's saying, I wish all of my Jewish, fellow Jewish people would come to faith in Christ. That was Paul's greatest burden. It was his greatest heartbreak. But in Romans, look at me, he has four people that were of Jewish descent. He calls them, they're my kinsmen. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever go to a foreign country? and you want to hear your language, we got the Satish. Can I ask you, Satish, you guys speak English perfectly. But don't sometimes you just like to hear Telugu? Tell me the truth. Why? Because it's just part of who you are. Yes? Dada, do you ever like to hear Tagalog? Let me ask you a second. Do you ever speak Tagalog? Liam. Now, Liam does a better Tagalog than Dada does, especially when he's picking on Dada. By the way, it's just something. Paul wanted Jewish people to come to faith. That's just people. Most of them didn't. In Rome, look at me, in Rome, there were four people, his kinsmen. That's what he's talking about. It could mean his family, but I'm sure these people are not his family. These are just Jewish believers. All right, let's continue on. He also calls these two Paul's fellow prisoners. Andronicus and Junia, and in some way, been imprisoned. Don't know anything else about that. He also says they were in Christ, meaning believers are saved, before the Apostle Paul. So he knew enough about them to know they had become a believer even before him. You kind of wonder, were this group, can I ask you all a historical question from the Bible? Were there any people at Pentecost from Rome? Were there, yes or no? Thank you for not knowing. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Verse 8. Everybody find it? Verse 8 says this. This is the miracle of speaking in tongues. They say, the people, this isn't the apostles, these are the people listening. They say, how hear we, every man, in our own, that's the Greek word dialect, not the word glossa, dialectos, wherein not only your dialect, but your heart language from birth, wherein we were born. And then he lists them. Parthians, where's Parthia at? Modern day Iran. Medes, Elamites, where's that at? Well, modern day Iraq. Dwellers in, I'm speaking Tagalog, Mesopotamia. And in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus in Asia. Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, all Asia Minor, Turkey today. Phrygia, Turkey today. Pamphylia, Turkey today. Egypt, we know where that is. Parts of Libya, we know where that is. About Cyrene, which was just west of Egypt. And strangers of, all right, let me give you, this is not important, but see, I like to read. You do realize what Paul was saying. These two people were believers before me. I believe that Paul was saved within 1 to 2 years of the resurrection. Did you hear me? So these people almost assuredly were Jewish people. Did I say they were Jewish people? Guess where they were from? And they came to what? Pentecost. And got saved, and they were believers before Paul. This isn't real deep. You almost have to be a believer from Rome. They came, heard the gospel, probably on the day of Pentecost. Went back home. That's Paul's statement. We continue. Here we get into the snippety part. They were well known, or of note, or outstanding. That Greek word is found only two places, in this text and in Matthew 27:16. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, meaning he was somebody that everybody knew he was a thief and a troublemaker. So what does this mean? Well, people go crazy. Simply stated, the word means well-known, notable, prominent. The Greek means, at least from my reading of it, it's pretty straightforward, in tois apostolois, it means to the, by the, or among the apostles. But apostles, what does that mean? My guess, it means this, and then I'll explain and be done. My guess, it simply means this. Everyone look at me. I don't think Romans 16 is talking about, look at me, I don't think it's talking about the apostles. I think it's talking about, what's the word apostle mean? Messenger. two basic kinds, apostles of Christ and apostles of a church. I think, by the way, we started someplace. I'm sorry, this is hard for us thinking on a Sunday night. We started by saying this chapter is about Paul doing what? He's here, he's sending greetings back to there, and he's taking greetings from there back to here. Yes or no? How did he do that? You said he sent emails. He sent a letter, a text, smoke signals. Paul had, he had a messengers. And what's the Greek word for apostle mean? You see, here's the thing. He had some people. You would do the same. Paul would take his letter, have some messengers deliver it, who would then what? Bring something back. You had to have messengers, people sent out for the from a local church to a local church, or from the apostles to a local church. I think a lot of this is like, now I'll give you my ideas. Hopefully, this will make sense. The context of Romans 16 is one of greeting or saluting one another. Does everybody agree with me? That's the whole thing. It's all about greeting one another. Messengers from the church to Paul and then back to the church, from my perspective, makes very good sense. This is simply talking about two people named Andronicus and Junia who were well known to a group of messengers from that church. So everyone look at me. Let's we're a little late. It's all right. I'm not angry. By the way, some of you thinking, you know, reading. But here's your problem. If you don't have an answer for this, we have, according to some people, women apostles. But it's not talking about that. All it's talking about is this, messengers. And they were messengers, Andronicus and Junia were well known to whoever was taking the information back and forth. So I want to ask a question. If I mention Mr. Losi, raise your hand. Do you know him? Now, some of you, sadly, you never got the privilege. If I mention Samwise Ganji, if I go to another church and say, Mr. Losi, everybody's... By the way, we don't know one word about these two people. You can't make them apostles that nobody's ever heard of. They're simply messengers, look at me, from one local church to Paul, back and forth, and Andronicus and Junia were well known to those messengers. Just like anybody, by the way, I can talk to Fred Moritz. He knew Mr. Losi. Kevin Bodder knew Mr. Losi. David Saxon knew Mr. Losi. If I mention, not all of you, but many of you, if I mention certain people, if I say Christy and Tom, Bowders know because Dr. Bowder knows your dad, correct? I mean, you know, you make connections. You're well known. That doesn't make you an apostle. You're just well known because of the connections. Folks, the whole chapter is simply about connections. Paul, writing this church to the letter to the churches, knew a bunch of people. He wanted to send greetings, and he wanted them to greet other people. It was a back and forth. And there were two people that were of Jewish descent, that were believers before Paul, that were well known to those messengers. This isn't rocket science, unless you're trying to prove something. You're trying to build some religion. So let's finish this all. The context of Romans 16 is one of greetings, or saluting one another. Messengers from the church to Paul and then back to the church makes very good sense. Otherwise, and this is my only attempt at humor tonight, we end up with two well-known, unknown people. I actually heard a person say, this ought to be translated this. Junia was a notable apostle. She was so notable, and this is my joke, she was so notable, nobody knows her. But if you put it in the context of one local church and another local church, brother, if I say mountain man, pastor boy, right? Why? Because we know him. If I say mountain man junior, pastor though, I tell him, Pastor, the second pastor there, he's becoming the old man. I mean, it's no joke. Pastor Boy is one of my favorite human beings on earth. He would have 3 cell phones in 3 different provinces, but no cell phone anywhere close to himself. And now Pastor Doe, which is kind of was his assistant, now the senior pastor, because Pastor Boy is doing only mission work, guess what? He's the same way. So now if I want to call him, I call 3 people in the church to get a hold of him to have him call me. Oh, by the way, do you know Pastor? Well, some of you do know Pastor Boy. He's been here. But you don't know Pastor Doe. You understand? These people are unknown, but they were not unknown, look at me, to that local church. So make sure you greet them. Hey, they're my Jewish, they're part of my family, Jewish believer. They were saved before I was. I love them. Please greet them. That's all this is. They're not notable apostles when nobody knows anything about them, but the people in the local church did. I say in your notes to conclude, yet they are 2 people that could be well known to the Apostle Paul and the messengers of the church. And that's a beautiful statement. That's a beautiful thing. Let's finish and let me say this and we'll stand. If I say PDD, do you know who PDD is? What does that mean? I'm not going to say. That is my personal nickname. Hold it, hold it. Does my mother know who you are? I don't know why it is my mother loves this woman. I do know why it is. Because she's about the only person my mother knows that she can almost look into her eyes. Not quite, because Pajungai's taller. My mother loves her, loves Judy. I mean, just, by the way, do you know my mother? The rest of the church, honestly? No. Now, does she know things about you? Yes. And by the way, she would only know good because that's all I would ever say. I say bad things about you, she still doesn't listen. So who is Andronicus and Junie? Look at me, friends. Very important people to Paul and to that local church in Rome. They weren't apostles. They weren't among the apostles in the sense they weren't one of the apostles. They were simply people well known, probably good, godly people. Look at me. Probably people that got saved on the day of Pentecost, because to be saved before Paul and be Jewish from Rome, that's about your only option. Many people believe Paul was saved the next year after the resurrection. Not a lot of time. That's who they are. I'll conclude by saying this. Were there other apostles? James? I think so. Luke, Timothy, Titus, Silas, John Mark, this is my opinion. Probably not. But they're associated with apostles. These 2 people, they were just known and well known to the messengers from that local church. That's it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Hopefully this helps us work through some very simple ideas. It's called reading the Bible as opposed to proof texting. Help us to hear and learn in Jesus' name. Amen.